This morning's reading is a carrying on of in Hebrews. This week we're reading Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 12, all the way through chapter 11, and then chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And you can follow along up there if you'd like. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up into heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, although she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died believing that God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. This is the word of the Lord.
Hebrews 11 is one of the most well-known parts of the Bible. It offers us a description of faith and a brief history of God's people. It's often referred to as the Great Hall of Faith. When I hear that, what comes to mind is one of those great hallways in an English palace where you walk down the hallway and it's lined with all these beautiful big portraits. Walk down one of these hallways with a family member and they'll tell you about each one of those portraits and the family person. We need to know our history, to know the story of which we are a part. This is our family album. That's another reason for us, the importance to read Scripture, to know those with this life of faith, not only getting to know God, but knowing our lineage of faith. This chapter calls us to faithful endurance, recalling the life of faith of those who have gone before us. Now let me read verses 1 and 2 again. What then is faith? It is what gives assurance to our hopes. It is what gives us conviction about things we can't see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Throughout this chapter, the words by faith are repeated 19 to 21 times, depending on the translation. Clearly a message by faith. But it doesn't just stop there. Faith involves confident action. By faith is accompanied with the name of a person, an action by which the faith is expressed, and with a result. It's not just, I have faith. you know, some emotion that's drummed up. There is an action. Abraham left his home to go to another land. Noah built an ark. Rahab helped the spies. Moses led God's people to freedom. And verse 32 says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. In all the examples, the person of faith lives out bold confidence in God's greater realities. I appreciated how N.T. Wright describes it. He says, faith for Hebrews is always closely linked to hope. Faith is looking at God and trusting Him for everything, while hope is looking at the future and trusting God for it. The author begins with creation, and we read in verse 3, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. This is foundational. Unless we believe that God exists, that He created the world by His word, out of nothing, and that He does indeed want people to seek Him, amen, we can't begin to take that whole step of worshiping Him and then putting our full trust in Him. The author reinforces that God is the creator of the world. He's also the world's redeemer, and He is working to build a city to come. The city mentioned in verse 10 is a theme that we will see repeated throughout the next coming chapters. The theme of the heavenly Jerusalem. We look to a day when God will establish the true or heavenly Jerusalem. In the meantime, we live in our challenging cities in light of a better heavenly one that will be experienced in the future. If we remember to whom this letter was originally written, it was written to Christians facing persecution. The writer is very aware of what these people are dealing with: threats, intimidation, and mockery from those around them. And perhaps in the midst of their current experience of persecution, they were struggling to recognize the fulfillment of God's promise when all they could see was the difficulty of their present crisis. It wasn't easy, and they are encouraged to keep going. The writer's point is that this is normal for the people of faith. The promises of God are to be embraced, even though the fulfillment lies in the future. There can be a variety of outcomes. We see here that faith sometimes has immediate positive outcomes. When the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea, when the boat saved Noah's family, when the walls of Jericho fell. But we also see times when there was a delayed outcome. Abraham had to wait for a child. Abraham's greatest disappointment was that his wife couldn't have children to continue on in the family line. We read in verse 12 that Abraham's family was as good as dead. Abraham, however, believed God. And even though he did get tired of waiting and had an affair with his maid, God didn't give up on him. Faith can also involve negative outcomes, like being murdered, as Abel was, or tortured, beaten, destitute, stoned, put in prison. Faithful people sometimes do not see the results in this life. There are those listed in this chapter 11 who stepped out in faith, believing God's promise, but did not see it come about in their lifetime. They took God at His word, lived by His promise, and trusted Him even through death. The author is reminding them of this truth, reminding them of those who had gone before them, not just trying to conjure up some kind of feeling in them, but encouraging them to hold fast, look to God, and follow Him. Faith here is not a general attitude towards life. It's not simply believing difficult and impossible things just for the sake of it. Some people put faith in faith. some kind of formula to, you know, make things happen. But that's not biblical. Faith means saying yes to God. One definition of faith says, faith is confidence that results in action carried out in a variety of situations by ordinary people in response to the unseen God and his promises, with various earthly outcomes, but always the ultimate outcome of God's commendation and reward. By faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left Ur of the Chaldeans at the height of its prosperity, he had no idea where he was going. But he heard God's call and went and obeyed. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew with whom he was going. He trusted God, even when the evidence pointed in the opposite direction. He didn't look back to what he'd left behind through this step of faith. And rather, as it says in verse 10, he was looking forward to the city with eternal foundations, whose architect and builder is God. His faith brought blessings to him, his family, his nations, and to you and me. Faith is confidence that results in action. Verse 6 says that it's impossible to please God without faith. Why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. What pleases God is not our list of achievements, but the posture of trust before him. We are to keep our eyes focused on Christ, trusting in him, abiding in him, following him with all our heart. This is the way to living a life that is pleasing to God. We are not alone in this journey. We look to those who have gone before us for encouragement. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith." The image here is that of an Olympic stadium. People gathered, cheering those on who are running the race. But as we look to this crowd or cloud of witnesses, we also need to be aware that they were not perfect. In this list, we don't find faultless individuals. Noah, a drunk. Rahab, a prostitute. Sarah, a cynic. Jacob, a cheat. Moses, a murderer. Samson, a womanizer. Gideon, a coward. David, an adulterer. They were sinners who said yes to God. And even after sinning, they said sorry and yes to God again. Perseverance and grace. Martin Luther defined faith as a living, daring confidence in God's grace. Faith is saying yes to God when all in us just wants to say no. Perfect faith is not about being perfect. It's about being persistent. And don't discount yourself, even when you've messed up. A couple of times when I was in Boston and I needed to rent a car, I was able to get it with a GPS. And one time I was driving in downtown Boston where it was very confusing, lots of one-way streets, and things are not clearly marked. And I made several wrong turns. Well, each time the GPS would not yell at me or say, "Well, forget it, you're lost." It would say, "Recalculating, recalculating." We can take wrong turns, and we can respond by recalculating, admitting our sin and saying yes to God. After mentioning the crowd of witnesses, chapter 12, verse 1 goes on to say, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." What are we to do to run the race? Get rid of those heavy weights that are slowing us down. throw off the sin that so easily entangles us? How often do we try to run this race of faith while carrying all kinds of heavy baggage? Resentments towards other people, anger, secret greed, anxieties over various concerns, sinful habits, disobedience. These things hold us back. The other thing that you need to do when you're running a race is to keep focusing forward. When you run a race, you don't look to either side. You'll lose time. You'll falter. We are to fix our eyes on Jesus, on the finish line. He is there, the one to greet us. It's looking up. The issue is one of focus. It's not faith like faith trying to sum something up. Faith is about focus on Jesus. And as I mulled over this the last few days, I came up with an acrostic for faith. Fixed ahead, I trust Him. We need to look up and fix our eyes on Jesus. And the more we focus on Him, seeing who He is, the more we understand His character and His power, and the more that we find ourselves living with confidence. By faith describes our whole relationship with God, trusting Him, leaning our whole weight on Jesus, and having the courage to act on our belief. This is how the Message paraphrases verse 1 to 3 of chapter 12. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility He plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. If by faith is how we are meant to live, how do we get more faith? It's fixing our eyes on Jesus. It isn't always easy. It is difficult to continue to trust when we don't see things fulfilled. But we can ask, like the Father in Mark's Gospel, "Yes, I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief." Jesus helps us grow in faith. He is the author and perfecter of faith. If you're to saying today, "Yes, I want more faith," adjust your focus in life. If we focus less on ourselves and our problems, we will find more faith. One person said, "You will not find the answers by staring at your feet. You will find your answers when you lift your eyes and plant them firmly on Jesus." If we put our faith in ourselves, we will be disappointed. If we put our faith in success, it won't last. If we put our faith in a political system, yep, it will let us down. But if we put our faith in Jesus, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Faith, fixed ahead, I trust Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is where we need to focus. And in the presence of God, we find faith. I read these challenging questions that I want to ask you. How would you and I live today if we believed absolutely that God existed and loved us completely and had a destination for us? How would we live if we believed that God cared about our every action and every concern and wished to reward us magnanimously for our faith? How would you and I live in the face of opposition if we believed in God, really believed, as if our whole lives depended on Him? pretty thought-provoking questions. What do you believe? And are you willing to step out in faith? Bernard Levin, an influential Times columnist, described his experience of trying to decide about the Christian faith. He said, "People such as me, who hover on the edge of the swimming pool, simultaneously longing and fearing to jump. Take the step of faith, jump." George Guthrie, in his commentary, lists current people who live by faith. He writes, "By faith, the director of an inner city youth outreach program ministers to at-risk teens. By faith, a missionary couple shares the gospel with Arab Muslims over a span of decades. By faith, a businessman lives with integrity and openness about his relationship with Christ and is fired by an unbelieving boss. By faith, a money manager gives 3/4 of his income to the church's work, setting a financial cap on his family's standard of living. By faith, a successful saleswoman leaves her job to enroll in seminary, believing that God has called her to the mission field. By faith, a church decides to stay in a landlocked downtown location rather than moving to suburbia, believing God has not abandoned the residents of the downtown area. By faith, all these live out their lives as God exists and rewards those who earnestly seek Him. By faith." Where is God calling you to step out and trust Him? Is there an area of your life where you need to say yes to God? Is there an area where you need to put your confidence in Him and step out? And is there something that you need to let go of that's weighing you down? There is a course for us to run. A life of faith involves not only the belief that God exists, but stepping out and following Him. Let's pray. And as we pray, I just want to pause, as we did earlier, for you to pray and give you time to ponder these questions. Is God speaking to you today about something that you need to let go of? Somewhere where you need to say yes to Him? An area where you need to step out? So take time, listen to Him, and pray.